I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 260. All right, the first one. Hey, ghouls, it's Gigi from Vancouver. I have so many stories for you. I figure I would just send absolutely every single one in, so there's going to be a bunch here. It took me a few days to write y'all this absolute novel. My first story. So I'm a spicy accountant in Vancouver, British Columbia, and lots of clubs out here have been open since the 70s and 80s, and every single one of them is haunted as fuck. So I was at my favorite club. Important side note, dancing works a little differently in Canada. You get booked for the week, and you have 8 shows every day, 18-minute sets, big costumes, Monday to Sunday, and you're there from noon to 1 a.m. I like to get spooky with it, and my favorite sets to do are Ghostface and The Purge. So it's almost more of a burlesque vibe. Because the shifts are so long, most girls will get a room for the week. This particular club used to be a hotel, so they have rooms for the girls to rent. It's really fun if you book a week with your friends because we have giant sleepovers and we tend to have some ghost hunts. This particular club is called the Number 5 Orange. Pamela Anderson, Anna Nicole, and Courtney Love all used to dance here. My mom actually danced there as well. My parents met at the club, so no one was shocked when I started. There are 3 floors and a creepy-ass basement. Many people have died here, and I'm convinced this place is a portal. I've heard stories about a waitress jumping out the window, and also a dancer that came to work and confessed that she had just murdered her mother, came to work anyway, and the cops came and arrested her while she was on stage. Also, a customer had a heart attack and passed in the barn. He was there for a while because everyone thought he was just sleeping. Crazy stuff. One of our favorite staff members passed away upstairs, and some girls that spent the night often report that he'll come to them and say hi and let them know that he's still watching over all of us. Apparently, he appeared to one of the girls who was spending the night and told her not to worry about him and that being dead is cool, which sounds like something he would say. So on to my story. I'm going to the change room and I pass the stairs that go to the 3rd floor. I almost shit my pants. If you've ever seen the movie Lights Out, what I saw looked like that lady. But she was crouched like Spider-Man on the stairs, head tilted, eyes glowing green, and I could just feel she was smiling. I nipped the fuck out of there and into the change room and kept trying to figure out who or what this spirit was. So about a month later, I was talking to one of the bartenders that has been there for over 40 years, and I told him about what I saw. He looked at me and said, "Oh, that's just Scary Mary." "Excuse me, Scary Mary?" "Of course." He told me that there was a waitress that used to work at the Number 5, and she wasn't particularly a nice lady. He says often that while he's working, she will throw bottle caps and things like that at him. Kind of rude, but okay, Mary. So I asked why she appeared that way. Apparently, Mary had passed violently. Trigger warning for assault and murder. Apparently, Mary's boyfriend had beat her up, stabbed her to death, and then lit her on fire. Apparently, the Number 5 was her favorite spot, so that's why she chose to haunt it. Her manner of death explains why her energy is so dark. My theory about the Number 5 Orange is that it's a portal. You can feel the energy when you're there. I've gone to the basement and done some ghost hunting when it's slow, and there's an entity in the basement that's very dark and likes to peek behind the walls that are broken, exposed brick. The second story was when I got haunted after listening to the first episode of Peggy the Doll from Two Girls, One Ghost. I take full responsibility for my actions, and they gave clear warnings. I have no one to blame but myself. I had just finished listening to the first one on YouTube, so I saw Miss Girl. My boyfriend and I were on vacation, so we went out for a bit and then went back to the hotel. We're in bed, and I dropped my phone on the ground in the dark. So, of course, I went to lean over to pick it up. Not noticing there was a glass corner side table, I stabbed my eyeball so hard, so badly, that I couldn't see out of it, and I thought I was going to go blind. I had to go to emergency. Thankfully, my eyeball was going to make a full recovery, and I still managed to be able to wear contact lenses for the Anne Rice vampire ball that I go to every Halloween in New Orleans. So it could have been worse. I had a black eye and everything, and my boyfriend wouldn't stop making fun of me and playing Fetty Wap, so I'm wondering if I'm a klutz or if I can blame this one on Peggy. This happened within hours of listening. I was warned, though, so I have no one to blame but myself. I have a couple of ghost stories about my experiences in New Orleans. For the past 4 years, I've been going down there about 3 or 4 times a year. I go to the Anne Rice Ball on Halloween every year, and it's so beautiful. I would really recommend going to it. I'm absolutely in love with New Orleans. It's my favorite city. The first time I went down, just my cat Violet, named after Violet from American Horror Story, and I fell in love immediately. I've been told that I lived there in a past life, and that's why I'm so drawn to it. They have this specialty pet store in New Orleans that I got her cat one. I think it's just like a liquid catnip or something, but we sat in our hotel and I had wine with my cat like the crazy cat lady ever, and it was the most wonderful experience. So as it was the first time there, I knew it was haunted, but to be quite honest, I thought I could handle it with limited education on exactly how serious this shit is. One night, I walked by the LaLaurie mansion. I don't know if you guys have walked by or seen it, but the energy is so dark. You can feel the sadness and the evil. I have since learned that locals will refuse to even walk under the gallery of the house, and I now know why. So the first time I saw it, I was by myself, a little sauced from Bourbon Street, and decided to touch the side of the house with my hand. I could already hear you two yelling at me. I wanted to feel the energy, and I instantly felt nauseous. I decided to stumble back to Bourbon Street. It was a very quiet night. There was no one else around, but I could feel something following me. In my sassy state, I turned around and said out loud, "You picked the wrong bitch. Go back to where you came from. You're not welcome." This thing did not care. I go back to my hotel room. I feel overcome with dread, but it doesn't feel like my own. I was super sad, but it didn't feel like my own sadness, if that makes any sense. I eventually passed out. When I woke up, there was a perfectly tied noose at the end of my bed, like a straight up burlap rope. I don't know how to tie a fucking noose. I was so scared and freaked out that I ran to Voodoo Authentica, told them what happened, and they gave me some protection and cleansing spells. Ever since, I refused to pass under the gallery of that house or even walk on the same side of the street. Lesson learned. I always head to Lafitte's blacksmith shop to try to capture the ghost penis. I will say, though, every time I go, I'm a little offended that he hasn't touched my butt. It's gotten to the point where I feel like I'm harassing him. I was going there like, "John, where's my butt pinch?" But maybe one day. I refuse to believe I'm just not his type. So my second story about New Orleans. Whenever I go, I do a ghost hunt with the Paranormal Society of New Orleans. It's run by a lovely couple who I refer to as modern day Ed and Lorraine, as they are who the Archdiocese calls for exorcisms. And I believe they have a few open cases currently. So I couldn't think of a more safe environment to explore and learn about spirits than with them. The first time I went on the tour with them, we stopped at the Andrew Jackson Hotel. And then we went to the guest house of a voodoo priestess. They were explaining to us how she was a friend with many celebrities and that the spirits of some celebrities, who they did not name, will come visit her. There's a spirit of a little girl there who likes stuffed animals. There are also ghosts that like to dance to Michael Jackson on the SLS camera. They started dancing to Michael Jackson, and when he was turned off, they would stop dancing. So for this story, we're taking it back to my profession as a spicy accountant. The club I work has merch. I was wearing a number 5 orange t-shirt. All of a sudden, on the ghost app I was using that generates words, kept repeating the word 5 over and over again. Me in my hand grenade state, yet again, can't help myself out there, said, "Oh, you know the 5? You want to dance?" The spirit box replied, "Couldn't forget it." After this happened, I was telling Chris, the tour guide, about what I was picking up and about how the number 5 was the celebrity hotspot back in the day and that Pamela Anderson, Courtney Love, and Anna Nicole all worked there. When I said Courtney's name, his jaw dropped and he pulled me to the side and told me to go look at one of the photos on one of the altars. It was a picture of the voodoo priestess and Kurt Cobain. Apparently they were friends and he's one of the spirits that will go visit her. But they keep it on the down low not to attract the wrong type of visitors. He then tells me to go look in the bathroom, and I go and there's a collage of over 100 pictures of Courtney Love. Maybe it was a coincidence, but I don't think so. Kurt was known to frequent the 5 along with Sylvester Stallone, Bill Murray, John Candy, Ted Danson, Judd Nelson, rock groups, Aerosmith, Motley Crue, AC/DC, athletes Charles Barkley, Dennis Rodman, and Wayne Gretzky. I've since come back and done many tours with the Paranormal Society. and I highly, highly recommend doing tours. You can also book private tours, but they are so educational and provide such a safe environment to communicate with spirits. A few trips ago in New Orleans, I went on a tour that takes you through the Charity Hospital Cemetery. It's a mass grave of Katrina victims, including a side tomb of around 110 unclaimed souls. The bricks behind are where they buried the children. This is a locals only known fact. It was very educational and very heavy, but I would recommend it if you would like to know more about the history and really educate yourself on Katrina and what the people of New Orleans went through. The first time I went on this tour, our guide, who after many visits I considered a friend, was telling us how there is often a ghost of a little boy seen peeking between the trees. Using ghost equipment, he found out that his name is Walter, and there have been multiple sightings of him. When I first went, I got a picture of Walter peeking behind the trees. Every time I go back to New Orleans, I make sure to go on a tour with my tour guide friend so I can bring Walter some candy and thank him for the picture. Over a few visits, we learned that he prefers cream soda over Grape Crush, so if you plan on leaving Walter a present, no Grape Crush. I posted this on the Facebook group, and I had a lot of skeptics. However, I'm a petty Gemini, so every time I've gone back, about three or four times since, I've taken pictures in the exact same spot, and he hasn't shown up again, so I'll send in all the evidence. I was thinking, too, I take so many pictures at cemeteries when I go that surely I must have missed something at some point, so I'm wondering if I'll upload them all to an album people could go look through, see if they see anything. Every time I go back to New Orleans, I always go on that tour. My favorite tour guide and the tour company is called Ghost Riders. This previous trip, he shared that he's actually a descendant of Marie Laveau, the Voodoo Queen. He did mention that her portrayal in American Horror Story made him want to puke. She was a lovely philanthropic woman. She helped everyone in her community, helped with court cases, and was at the bedside of many death row inmates as well as victims of yellow fever despite being so contagious, with a mortality rate of over 50%, she never caught it. I was also making a point of going to Marie's house when I was in town, and I'll give her hoop earrings or a scrunchie, and I'll hug her house, and I always get the most warm, protective feeling. This Halloween trip, me and my favorite tour guide friend asked the dowsing rods if Walter was happy to see me. They quickly moved to yes, and I don't know if you know this, but if you're asking dowsing rods if you can have a hug, if the spirit wants to give you a hug, they'll cross and touch your shoulders, which I find very sweet, and Walter gave me a hug. So go say hi to my pal Walter, but remember, cream soda only and no Grape Crush. I saved the sad ones for last. Y'all, you know how hot-natured I am, and you know how much I love my sleep. But you know how hot-natured I am. Colby literally says it's like living with a polar bear. When I sleep at night, I get hot, and that makes me not sleep well. And that makes me sweat. And when I sweat, that makes me gross. And that makes me get breakouts. And that makes all the things happen. And I don't want that to happen. So what do? We sleep on Miracle Made bedding.
You don't just sleep hot, you run hot.
Facts.
And I can only imagine what Colby feels like sleeping next to you.
Because you did it for the 10 years before him?
Uh-huh. And it was hot. So I know Miracle Made sheets have been a miracle for y'all because they've definitely improved my quality of sleep too.
What makes Miracle Bedding so different is that it is inspired by NASA, which is like so freaking smart. But what they do is they have silver-infused fabrics that make it temperature regulating so that you can sleep perfectly at the perfect temperature all night long.
And just like Carrie said, if you're hot, you're going to be kind of gross. It can lead to you sweating on your pillows, all the things. And that can lead to body acne, all of that. But Miracle Made offers a whole line of self-cleaning antibacterial bedding, such as sheets, pillowcases, and comforters that prevent up to 99.7% of bacteria growth and require 3 times less laundry.
And if the temperature regulation didn't sell you on that, less laundry should, because that's the bane of my existence. With Miracle Made, you really do get soft, luxurious, comfortable bedding that doesn't break the bank, but it feels like it is. So no more having to stick that 1 foot out for the monster to eat, because you are going to be just the perfect temperature with Miracle Made bedding. Well, if you want to try out these Miracle open parentheses made close parentheses sheets, you got to head on over to trymiracle.com/creep and use the promo code creep Because guess what that's going to get you? Not only are you going to get 40% off by just going to the website, when you use the promo code CREEP at checkout, you're going to get 3 free towels and an extra 20% off.
And Miracle is so confident in their product, so are we. It's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund.
Don't sleep on this deal, but do upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/creep and use the promo code CREEP to claim 3 free towels. And in addition to your 40% off you're getting, you're going to save an extra 20%. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode. Okay, back to the story. So right before COVID, my mom passed away from an overdose, September 18th, 2019. My dad passed away from cancer on September 16th, 2020, and his dad, my grandpa, passed away the following Wednesday, the day of my dad's memorial. The joke was that my grandpa couldn't give my dad a week's peace up there. I have had visitations from all three of them, and it's also important to note that they were separated. However, my mom never really got over my dad. So I wonder what you guys thought of the dates being so crazy close together. What could that mean? So we'll start with my mom and her visitations the night I found out she passed. I had a dream where we were cuddling together in bed. She was crying, apologizing for leaving, and then a few months later, I got a memorial tattoo for her, and she came to visit me in a dream, and I showed her the tattoo. She grabbed my hand and was so excited that I got a tattoo just for her, and then she sighed and looked down and said, "Fuck, this is all so sad. I'm so sorry." Those are the only visitations I've had from her, but something really sweet happened. Apparently, she left a Christmas gift for me at my place of work before lockdown and everything. I hadn't heard from her in a few months, and she started calling me randomly in February, saying that she had my Christmas present and that she desperately needed to give it to me. I told her I was out of town and that I would grab it the next time I was in town. She decided to go and drop it off at my place of work. I work at a bar. She's an alcoholic. You can imagine I wasn't too impressed about this, so I explained to her that she crossed the boundary and it wasn't okay. That was the last conversation I had with her. Time passed, lockdown happened, and I inevitably forgot about this gift during COVID. We used to go to the bar and hang out and just have a good time, and the manager brought it up how there was this gift sitting in the office and no one knew who it was for. It clicked immediately. I asked to see the present. Sure enough, it was her wrapping. There was a card addressed to me inside, and it was full of the typical gifts that she would give, like fabulous bath products, cool scrunchie, and things like that. So that was really nice. The only other visitation I had from her was when I was getting a reading done in New Orleans, and the medium kept laughing because apparently my parents just kept talking over each other. My dad was a Scorpio and my mom was a Sagittarius, so you can only imagine how that conversation went. Now, my grandpa was your typical Italian grandfather. Not a very nice guy, but we all put up with it. You get stuck in a conversation with him and all the siblings stand behind him laughing at you. Anything that you've done, he was a professional at some point in his life. And he wasn't very nice to my grandma at all. Very, "Damn it, woman, where's my dessert?" His name was Roger, so whenever anyone act like a know-it-all and was being a bit of a dick, we would say they were rogging out. I've had two experiences with my grandpa. The Tuesday before he passed, I went to see him. He had dementia, and he could barely stay awake. It escalated so quickly after my dad passed. It was almost like he knew. His eyes were closed, and all of a sudden, he looked at me, and he looked really scared. I was with my older cousin, and I usually look to her for advice. But she seemed to be looking at me for advice on what to do and how to handle this. So I just looked at my grandpa and told him that it was okay. If he needed to go, he could go, and everything would be okay. The night of my dad's memorial, I had a dream that my grandpa came to me, and I knew it was him, but it was him as a little boy, and he was holding my leg, pulling on it, crying and apologizing over and over, saying how he was so sorry he didn't know he was such a dick, and that it wasn't his fault, and that if he could go back and change things, he would, and he told me about how horrible his dad was to him. I told him it was okay, and we understood not to carry that with him, and that it was okay to let go and move on. So I'm a spicy accountant dancer. My grandpa was the only person in my entire family that didn't know. I appreciated our talks because he never treated me differently because he never found out until he came through during a private seance in New Orleans. We were sitting around the Ouija board with the Paranormal Society and all of a sudden the board spells birthday and then spells out Roger. I forget what the piece of equipment is called. A very gifted medium named Brick turned to me and said, "I think I'm talking to your grandfather, but it's hard to get a word in because he keeps talking over me." I knew for sure it was him, and then over the soundboard I hear, "Gigi, that's my dancer name, not my real name." But he said it like he was scolding me, like he had just found out I was a dancer. Apparently, after that, he was talking a mile a minute, and the medium actually had to say goodbye to him because he was ruining it for anyone else trying to come through, which was very typical of him and made me chuckle. And now, for my visitation with my dad, the most active of all of them. I don't even know where to start. This man's energy is so loud and proud. I'll be doing things, and I can hear his voice clear as day making sarcastic comments. My dad was a very funny man. He was witty to the point of almost being mean, but I love that type of humor. He wasn't big on showing emotions or anything like that. I think I cried over a boy once in high school and he made fun of me for it so hard, I never did it again. But I developed a tough skin from that, so I'm very grateful. His friends called him Guido. He was a very typical Italian guy, gym, tan, laundry, every day of his life. We actually had a tanning bed in our basement, and you wouldn't dare walk around the house without socks on as he frequently waxed the floors. He was a very tough guy. He was a biker, and he had a sign on his front door that said, "We don't dial 911. If I misbehaved, he would pick me up from school on his Harley, blasting Bad to the Bone, which was the most embarrassing thing ever. His passing wasn't suddenly. We had spent a final summer together sitting outside with my nephew, playing the guitar, and he would force anyone to drink tequila with him as it was his favorite, Don Julio. It was an 8-hour drive from where I lived to go visit him, and luckily, I had really good friends that would drive me out there. The last time I saw him, we were sitting outside, just him and I on the porch, and he was asking me what I planned on doing in my life. I told him I didn't know yet. I still don't, but reassured him that it would be okay. He was so weak and frail. To see such a strong, tough guy in that state was heartbreaking. I know he hated it too. So we're sitting on the porch, and I'm saying my goodbyes, knowing it's probably going to be the last time I see my dad. An inside joke that we had anytime anything got emotional, we would just say tender moments or emotional and walk away. I told him, "Well, Dad, any tender moments, life advice?" He said, "I don't know, Britt, wipe front to back." A jokester to the end. My dad's best friend told us that apparently the day he passed, when they were loading him into the ambulance, my dad gave him the finger and said, "No pictures." I was absolutely devastated losing my dad on top of my mom and my grandpa all in such a short amount of time. Losing both of your parents is such a scary feeling that I can't even describe. It just feels like you're all alone in the world and you've got to fend for yourself. He passed during COVID, and that's when I discovered that when I'm really sad, I like to run away on vacation. I ended up going to Miami and living there for 6 months, which ultimately led to my first trip to New Orleans. Gotta love those cheap Spirit airline flights. My visits to New Orleans have definitely contributed to a lot of my understanding of death and my outlook on the whole thing. Energy never dies. I believe that when you pass on, you just go to another plane, and the only difference is we can't see them anymore. New Orleans has also helped me expand and understand my spiritual gifts and has led me to be able to communicate not only with my loved ones that have passed, but now I can help others too. I've had a few dream visitations with my dad. I'd be getting into a fight with the girls that bullied me in high school and he'd be behind me telling me to go for the throat. Yeah, he actually said that. I also had a tattoo dream where I showed him a tattoo I got for him. He told me to stop wasting my money on tattoos, which again is a very him thing to say. He'll frequently come into dreams and give me a little lecture, but I'm okay with that. He really does like to come through during readings. Every time I do one, he makes his presence known. I have a recording of a reading where both of my parents come through, the one where they kept talking over each other. Apparently, he was hugging and kissed me on the forehead, and I felt it. That's the first time I cried about it in a while. The medium actually cried too. This past Halloween, he came through when I was with the Paranormal Society in New Orleans. We were asking if my dad was around, and if it was him, to tell us what his favorite food was. Multiple people heard spaghetti and meatballs, and the spirit box confirmed spaghetti and meatballs. He always makes his presence known, even if it's in a little small way. I appreciate that, but it reminds me that when someone passes, it doesn't mean they're gone. If you keep your ears open and eyes peeled, you can see them around you. I've never gotten anything in New Orleans, ever. Now, my sister did, she stayed at, well, I suck at words, she stayed at a hotel with, what's the trumpet guy's name?
Oh, yeah. Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, and she has like a recording, a video where you can't see anything, but you can like hear it playing and it's the dead of night, you know?
Yeah.
But that's really the only thing. Like when we went, Colby and I did a walking tour and We didn't feel anything. Didn't I go to the Lollery house?
I think you did.
And I didn't feel anything there. But I'm also not open, but like, but stuff didn't come to me, you know?
Yeah. Well, not to take it back to the first story, but I frequently watch Ghostface stuff on TikTok. I mean, it's guys who have the Ghostface mask, but...
Like spicy accountants?
Uh-huh. They can do my taxes.
Also, props to the, like, snaps to the medium for being like, boundary, bye, Grandpa, if you're not going to let anybody else talk.
Right? Yeah.
Love that. Somebody need to do that to him in life, I think.
Your dad sounds like a trip, though.
Oh, my gosh. Older Carrie would not do okay around him because now I cry. Younger Carrie would have done a little bit better, but now everything makes me cry.
Me too, honestly. I know when you said, like, tender moment, like, y'all don't, oh, and you don't cry over boys in this house. I'm like, well, I do.
Yeah.
And then I eat my emotions. Okay, the next one. Hi, Donna and Carrie. I've been listening to your podcast for a few months now and have really enjoyed the true crimes and sinister sightings. Recently, I joined your Facebook group and hopefully I'll sign up as a Patreoner before your next cruises. It's Krampus night, so I figured I'd write a story in about an apparition of a similar build. For background purposes, I'm Latina, and I grew up asking a million and one questions about everything I couldn't debunk or resolve on my own, and my parents' response would be something related to paranormal or religion, but never science. Picture it, California, 2014. I'm impatiently waiting for the month of May to end because June was an eventful month. The reasons. Graduation, my favorite local band at the time, Dance Gavin Dance, was playing a free concert, and I got my first job at a local grocery store. Feeling anxious and excited about all these changes and events obviously made sleep much more difficult. Aside from the bizarre dreams and sleep paralysis, because, you know, stress, there was one night that has stuck with me. Let me set the scene a bit more. The layout of my room at the time was probably why I saw this thing. The foot of my bed was facing the window, and I had regular dark colored curtains, you know, the kind that get sun bleached easily. But on this night, it was a full moon, so all that moonlight was beaming through. I'm laying in my dark room trying to fall asleep and staring at the window. As I'm staring, I notice something dart to the right really fast. At first, I thought it was a neighborhood squirrel. We have several of those around, and they like to run along the tops of the fence. Then I see something run to the left again, but noticed it had pointed ears or something. So I'm like, oh, maybe it's a street cat. The silhouette outside my window runs to the right again, but stops in the middle of the window and turns its head to look at my window. All I see is a silhouette of a damn satyr. I think that's how you say it. S-A-T-Y-R. It's a goat man, if you will. The moment it turned to look, I hid under my covers for a while and then peeked out to see if it was there. It was gone. The next day, I called my dad because he was the chief paranormal expert in my family and told him about it. He told me that the devil was lurking around me and I should get some holy water for protection. He then came by in the afternoon and took me to a local Catholic church to get holy water and told me to sprinkle some around the exterior of the house, my bedroom door, window, and the four corners of my bedroom. I did as instructed and didn't see it again, at least not in my bedroom window. After that, I had a few bizarre dreams featuring said satyr. Investing in blackout curtains as an adult saved me from the nightmare of looking out the windows at night. I'm still terrified of seeing someone or something through the window and the sliding glass door, but luckily I have two dogs to keep my kids and I safe. Just wish I had a dog back then. This is all I'm going to write in for now, but I'll write in again about those bizarre dreams and other happenings I've experienced and maybe some local true crime. Thank you for being my top podcast of 2023 and happy holidays to you two wonderful ladies. Creep it real, Teresa from California.
Well, Teresa, thank you for making us your top podcast.
For sure. Also, how fitting, though, about Krampus night. So also, that goes to show you it was December 5th when she wrote that in.
Yeah, I knew exactly what date it was because it was Krampus night.
I love that you were like, oh, a neighborhood squirrel. Oh, a street cat. No, it wasn't any of those.
Yeah, D, none of the above. Okay, the next one. Nursing home sinister settings. Hello again, beautiful ladies. Let's just get right into this one because it's a long one. I have worked as a CNA med tech for 10 years and a nurse for 3. I used to work in assisted living facilities as well as nursing home, so lots of paranormal fun for me. I'm also a chronic night shifter, so it's extra fun. My first experience at this facility. So for HIPAA, I have to change her name, so we'll call her Gladys. I was a med tech at this time. Miss Gladys was a 99-year-old suffering from dementia. I started the facility in 2018 after having my twins. Miss Gladys was still up and walking around and still just had occasional confusion, so it was nothing for her to pop up at the nurse's station confused at all hours of the nights and multiple times a night as well. I would make her a snack or get her some fresh coffee. We would sit there for a bit and talk and laugh, and then I would take her to her room to get her settled back in bed. You know, normal CNA stuff I had done again and again. Well, about a month and a half after I started, Miss Gladys fell and hit her head. I called 911 for transport to the hospital, then I called her family. Miss Gladys came back a couple hours later with no findings, but this was the beginning of her decline. She became more and more confused, and eventually she couldn't eat or drink anymore. This took about a year and 4 months. She's now bedbound on hospice services, so I haven't ever at this point met any of her 5 children, but I also chalked it up to working the night shift, so maybe they come during the daytime hours. She started having hallucinations and talking about seeing people in her room. So I started taking my lunch break in her room to play her favorite songs and keep her calm during that small amount of time. No, I didn't eat there. That's disrespectful. I did this 6 nights a week for roughly about a month. I would brush what was left of her hair and provide oral hygiene and keep her off her backside as she was literally wasting away in front of my eyes. She hadn't spoken in about a month at this time. One night, she sat up in bed and said, "Larry, wait for me." Turns out, Larry was her husband, who died 25 years ago. Creepy, but people with dementia talk to people who aren't there all the time. About a week passes. It's about 1 a.m., and I'm sitting with my back towards the corner in a rocker. There's nothing but 2 walls behind me. The room was cooler than normal, and I was sitting there listening to an instrumental of Amazing Grace. I hear from behind my right ear a man's voice saying, "She's almost ready." Like I felt the breath on my neck and my ear. To say every hair on my body stood up on end was an understatement. My whole body went cold. My legs felt like jelly and my body was physically shaking. I had experiences before, but never in my life heard someone, let alone felt the breath on me. I stood up quickly, checked on Gladys one last time, and freaking bolted out of that room. I made the other staff member go in with me for the rest of the checks and position changes that night. She passed the next morning once her youngest daughter, who hadn't seen or spoken to her mother in almost 30 years, got to the facility and said her goodbyes. It was a crazy experience. My second experience in the same facility was over 5 months later. I say that because these are significant experiences, not normal ones that you can just explain away, experiences like doors randomly open that were already shut and locked, etc. Again, I was working the night shift. Nothing too crazy had gone on in the days leading up to the night. It was business as usual. One of my regular night owl residents, we'll call her Betty, was up and walking the halls and said our hellos and was talking about the weather because it was rainy. Now, Betty was with it for the most part, so we said our goodbyes and I continued my rounds, and she, I thought, went back to her room. So about 2 hours passed and it's time to do rounds upstairs again, so this was about 3 a.m. I get upstairs and I hear someone talking. Not unusual, some of the residents are early birds. Well, me and my nosy self wandered towards the voices. Y'all, it was Betty. Only Betty. She was having a conversation with someone in the chair beside her. I asked her what was going on. She said that her aunt was there and they were just catching up. She then said something that creeped me out. She said that her aunt wanted to tell me that my grandma Arlene sent me another baby and I was pregnant. I laughed it off, but then I felt a hand on my shoulder. Frozen in fear, Betty asked me what was wrong. I asked Betty if she could see anyone around me, and she said, yes, there's an older gentleman with a smile on his face, and there was a young lady beside him. I pulled out a photo of my grandmother and my Bob. He was not related to me in any way except he married my grandmother when she was 70, but my Bob was my bestest friend until he died of lung cancer when I was 10. She confirmed. I immediately called my mom and had her go to Walmart, this is before COVID, and got me a pregnancy test now. She did. She thought I was crazier than a loon, but at this point, y'all, I was pregnant and the line was faint, It was barely there. I made an appointment with my OBGYN and she confirmed that I was about 5 to 6 weeks along. That's how I found out about my sixth baby. Yes, I have six kids. Yes, they're all mine. And yes, I had twins one time. And yes, I know what causes that. But that hand on me terrified me. Also, Betty was found passed in her chair 3 hours after all of this. I found her as I normally brought her coffee first thing in the morning before sitting in the room so she could shower. I was absolutely devastated when I found her. She was seeing literal dead people. Well, ladies, I hope you and our fellow Creepinati people enjoyed my experiences. I no longer work in geriatrics. I work as a pediatric home health nurse, which I actually love. But I'll write in soon with more experiences from my 13 years in the facilities. I'm writing this on December 6th, 2023, for those of you keeping track. Until next time, creep it real and get the hell out of that room. Love, Cat B, formerly Cat C.
Well, congrats on your marriage or divorce. Do people get rid of their last name sometimes with divorce?
Not typically if they have kids.
Okay.
So I would say probably marriage.
Well, congrats.
LOL, though, at you, like, answering all the things that people say about six kids.
Yeah.
You're like, yes, I do this. No, I don't do this. Yes, I understand how it happens. Yes, we have a TV.
Y'all don't watch the TV. Your kids might, but y'all don't.
Just leave it on the background. Do your business. You know, you forget about in nursing homes how close people get to like long-term residents. My grandfather was in one for 13 years before he passed. Like he had had a stroke and my grandma just couldn't take care of him. Not that you have to explain why you put somebody in a nursing home. But anyway, there were so many people that came to his funeral that worked in the facility.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like 13 years is a long fucking time.
Yeah.
And some of those people had been there the whole time with him, you know.
Sheesh.
I just remember there was this one man, Luther, that was his, that was like a, I honestly don't know what he was. I don't think he was a CNA. I think he was just, he kind of helped everybody. Like he may have even been like fucking maintenance and just helped him like transfer people, you know,
yeah.
I don't know. But he may have been a CNA and they were like BFFs, you uh-huh. know, him and my grandpa. And that's who would get him up in the mornings and, you know, all the things. So he may have been a CNA. But anyway.
God, take a breath.
I'm gonna hate everything right now.
Also, I'm surprised Carrie didn't cry when Betty hit her head or whatever.
You know what?
She, like, it was all over her face.
I'm trying to block it out. Thank you. I forgot about that part already. Poor Betty. Working in nursing homes is hard. It's fucking hard work.
I couldn't do it.
And it's so understaffed, and it's just, it's fucking hard.
Yeah. Well, and you're with them at a different point of their life where they're, like, helpless in a way. You know what I mean? And so a lot of those people haven't been like that. And so that's a whole different thing. And gosh. But God bless you for doing home health, though.
You are just doing all of Donna's least favorite things.
I could not go
the
into
elderly. Pediatrics, home health.
Yeah.
Donna's over here like, thank you for your service because I could never do
it. I could never. Okay, the next one. The man on the stairs. Hello, this is my first time writing in. I figured I'd help appease Carrie's anxiety of running out of stories. I've been listening to you guys for a few years now and you make me laugh. I love your stories. A few years ago, my brother-in-law Jay and his sweet baby girl E moved in with my husband, Adam, and I for a bit while he got back on his feet. He was about 2.5, but the girl could talk a blue streak. She was so smart and funny. Anyhow, on the night of November 13th, 2022, Jay and E are sitting at the kitchen table, which is at the top of the stairs of our split-level home. E's happily eating her French fries and starts waving at the stairs. Jay says, "Who are you waving to?" Which E replies, "The man on the stairs," with a big smile. Adam and I look up from the couch and over at him. Jay looks at us and shrugs. I said, "Who are you waving to?" E says again, "The man on the stairs." Jay asks what he looks like, but E moves on to a different subject. You know, being a toddler and all. Later that night, Adam and I are in bed watching TV. We decide to go to bed, so I do my nightly ritual of using the bathroom before bed. If I don't pee immediately before I go to sleep, I swear I will wake up every hour and have to go. Our bedroom is right at the end of the hall. Directly outside of our bedroom is the bathroom. And right next to the bathroom is the end of our very short hallway that opens into the main living area. I leave the bathroom and turn to go into our bedroom. Adam must have went into the main area of the house while I was in the bathroom because I almost bump into him when I leave the bathroom. I step back and say, "Excuse me." Adam says, "From the bedroom, who are you talking to?" You guys, I swear he was standing on the other side of me, but I couldn't see him because the house was pitch black. I laughed nervously, and Adam said it must have been the man on the stairs. Eek. After the initial man on the stairs meeting, other random things started happening in our house that we blamed on the man on the stairs. I have a light for my plants that's on a timer. It randomly started turning itself on. It still does. I got up last night at 1:30 in the morning and it was on. I plugged it into different outlets, reset the timer, turned off the timer completely. It doesn't matter. It still turns on. The downstairs bathroom will shut by itself, and we never shut that door. That's where the cat's litter boxes are. Because it's downstairs, we don't even shut it when we're using it. And the door doesn't shut very easily, so it couldn't have been just somehow blown shut. One day I was sitting on the couch upstairs and one of my cats started growling and trying to get into the basement, but the door was shut. So he starts running down the stairs, trying to get into the basement, then back up the stairs to our bedroom, back and forth and back and forth. We had a music box under our Christmas tree last year and it turned itself on. It's a wind-up music box, so it wasn't a dying battery or anything like that. Here's where it gets weird. I collect creepy dolls. Not purposely painted creepy dolls, but just dolls that I see in the random antique shops that don't mean to be creepy, but they are, if that makes sense. My husband just loves this quirk of mine. Just kidding, it freaks him out. I usually display my dolls, and our numerous nieces and nephews like most of them, except for the slappy puppet from the Goosebumps show. I know that he was made to look creepy on purpose, but I got this one off of Facebook Market, and his buttons are missing, and he's all ragtag. The lady said that her daughter was terrified of him. All the nieces and nephews hate Slappy, except for E. She just loves him. Jay will use him as an actual ventriloquist dummy and have him tell jokes to E. For Halloween, I'll display them with our Halloween decorations and make a big creepy display. After Halloween of 2022, I decided to put my dolls in storage for that year. It made me a little sad, but we were running out of room to display them. And shortly after I put them away is when the man on the stairs made his first appearance. I told Adam that maybe Slappy was mad that I put him away. All of these things I mentioned above happened between November of 2022 until probably around January of 2023, and then they stopped. Until, that is, I got the Halloween decorations out for 2023. I think Slappy went to sleep and woke up and started his pranks again this past September. Jay and E have moved into their own place, so we have more room in the house. I found a place to display the dolls all year round again. I wonder if these pranks will continue throughout the year. I'm writing this on 12/8/23, by the way. I have more stories that I'll share at a different time, and I'll keep you posted on any man on the stairs updates. Thanks for making my morning commute to work so enjoyable. I laugh with you and I cry with you and love keeping up with your lives. Donna, I laugh when Carrie makes fun of you saying bet. I use cool slang all the times with my kids. They're grown and they just roll their eyes at me. I also kind of giggled every time I wrote you guys instead of y'all. I'm from Michigan and I love your accents. Creep it real and don't get scared, Kendra. Okay, Slappy is creepy as fuck. That you got him from Facebook Marketplace, I would be like, no, 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 because you never know what people put onto their dolls or anything. But just Slappy is so creepy.
I feel like the previous writer, when they said that they listened to the doll episode and they knew what they were getting themselves into, you knew what you were getting yourself into, bringing all those creepy-ass dolls into your house. And now you got a man on your stairs.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I hope he's a nice man, but them damn dolls brought that fucking spirit.
Right? Also, I feel like I am your plant light. I just keep turning myself on.
Oh, my Jesus, God. We're going to move on from that, but okay.
Also, me having a black thumb, because I was like, why do you have to have lights for plants?
I still don't know.
To grow. Because what if they, you know, like, Then I think about now being in the cannabis industry. Yeah, they have different, like, you have to have certain lights and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, and she's in Michigan, so, like,
yeah.
Winter, sun's not really there.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one. A not-so-spooky story. Hello, you beautiful babes. My name is Zoe. Yes, you can use my name. And I've been a listener for about a year now. I love, love, love your podcast and all the laughs you bring. You've got me through so many long nights and mornings at work. This story was written December 9th, 2023. This story is more funny than spooky, but I thought you'd enjoy it. This story takes place about a year ago. My fiance and I bought a house in 2020, right around when the pandemic started, in a nice neighborhood with nice neighbors. It's an older house built in the 1920s and a two-story. At this time, both myself and my fiance worked the overnight shift at the same factory. It's about 4 minutes from our house. He went to work at 9 p.m. and I didn't work until 11 p.m., so this left me home alone for a few hours. During this time, I usually took a nap, got to have my beauty rest, and got up at about 10:30 to get ready for work. I woke up and was lying in bed with our two dogs, scrolling on my phone as usual, when all of a sudden, I heard a loud bang outside. Now, I'm a true crime fanatic. All I do is listen to true crime podcasts. So what's my first thought? Someone's breaking into my house. Now, this may be TMI, but your girl sleeps in the nude. So I panic and text my fiance that I thought someone was breaking into the house. Why I don't call the police, you may be wondering. Well, honestly, I didn't want to look like an idiot if someone actually wasn't breaking in. He responded, "Oh well, there's a loaded gun in the nightstand. Take it with you, you'll be fine." "Excuse me, sir, you want me to walk downstairs buck naked with a gun to confront an intruder? Abso-fucking-lutely not." So I do the only logical thing I can think of. I let the dogs out of the bedroom first and send them to investigate. Surely if someone's there, they'll start barking and scare them away. So wait for a minute in my bedroom and hear nothing. I quickly sneak downstairs to get dressed and find the door is still locked and there's nobody in the house. I think it's weird and head to work anyway as your girl cannot be late. I got bills to pay and dogs to feed. I'm halfway through my night and I'm thinking about the night's events and I realize what the noise was. Y'all, it's winter in Iowa at this point, so it gets cold. And I realize that the noise was just my heater kicking on and the ducts expanding from the sudden whoosh of warm air. Man, did I feel silly. But at least I know nobody was actually trying to break into my house. I told my fiance about it and we laughed about how silly the situation was. And he informed me I listened to too many true crime podcasts. Nonsense. And he knew I would be all right. Safe to say, my dog saved the day. Thank you for being yourselves and always bringing some light to my day, Zoe.
You released the hounds.
I thought, who let the dogs out?
I'm glad you... like, recognize what it was later. Because that's still creepy when you're like, what was that?
Yeah, when you can't quite figure out what it was.
And I ain't mad at you sleeping in the nude.
Yeah, I can't do it because I just have to be clothed.
Head to toe clothed.
Yeah, like, I have to have socks on. I have to have a barrier for my underwear and my pads. Who's kidding who?
And we know you have to waller in to get your... night dress just right.
Man, I have this one right now. I threw it away. Cody got me for Christmas. Like,
oh my God, the one that I hate.
The tie-dye one?
Yes.
Yeah.
You just threw it away because you had it on yesterday.
Yeah, I literally threw it away yesterday. Well, that motherfucker is so big on me now because it has just stretched. I ain't lost weight. It has stretched.
It's always been big on you.
It has, but there was like a hole in the underarm. I mean, it was bad. And the amount of wallering I had to do in that bed to get that shit straight.
You didn't want to exercise right before bed.
No, literally, the last time I wore it to bed, I had to take my CPAP off because I was like, I can't breathe. It was a fucking workout, for sure.
Okay, the last one. A long-distance phone call. Hey, y'all, I'm Leanne. I wrote in once before, and you guys read it last year, 2022, on Halloween. I was the very last story. Anyways, this isn't my ghost story, but my grandmother's. This happened back in the 60s because my mom was a baby. At this time, my grandmother still lived in Pennsylvania, but a lot of our family had moved to South Carolina. Included was her mom, an aunt, and 17 brothers and sisters. Get it, great Grammy? Her aunt, Aunt Margie, was sick, not sure with what, but they would talk every day. My mom was sitting on the floor and started talking to her Aunt Margie. My grandmother kind of looked at my mom with this confused look, but then the phone rang. It was Aunt Margie. It was a very short conversation, maybe less than 5 minutes. Immediately after they hung up, she received another call from her mom telling her that Aunt Margie had passed away 10 minutes ago. My grandmother, very confused, told her mom that she literally just hung up with Aunt Margie. Her mom said that was impossible. She had already passed. So there you go. My mom was talking to her Aunt Margie, and then my grandmother got a phone call from Aunt Margie when Aunt Margie was already gone. I forgot to ask if she was charged for that long-distance call. I'll update. I have a true crime connection to Pee Wee Gaskins, but I'll send that in another time. Anyway, later, my taters. And yes, say my name, say my name. Sincerely, Leanne.
Thank you for giving Donna a new goddamn sign-off.
Literally, I was going to say, well, I know what I'm going to say now.
She's going to say that all the time now.
Later, my taters. I'm going to say that when I sign off for work tomorrow.
I am not surprised in the least. You know how many times I'm going to have to hear that now?
It makes me want a tater tot real bad.
You better send in your true crime story. Thanks.
Don't let Carrie bully you, okay? But send it in.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're reaping the benefits from me putting the fear of God in everybody.
But also, love the long-distance phone call. Like, you know, I get it now. But, like, I was thinking, you know, long-distance. Like, call and collect.
Yeah. I wonder what they said on the phone.
Right.
Like, was she saying goodbyes, or was it just, like, she just chatted?
She probably just chatted, because, you know, that would have been weird to have said that, but she just wanted that last little bit. That's sweet.
I just don't understand how some people can do it and some people can't. Like, you know?
Yeah.
How some people can get through to the family members and some people can't.
Yeah.
Or, like, why some people do and some people don't.
Yeah, we got that the first time you said that. You didn't have to reiterate it twice.
You know, I like to bookend things.
Oh, man. I miss those bookends, a.k.a. the pizza that I got.
Yeah, I'm like, so.
I miss the pizza after I read all the books.
Yeah, I just go get you a personal pan of pizza. Do you need the little
pin? Yes.
Yeah, because you like scratch it. It was like that. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not good with sound effects, but it was like the kind where you could scratch it and it would make the noise.
I never knew that.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just didn't know that.
Well, imagine that. I have sensory issues. Thank y'all so much for sending in all of these stories. Keep them coming. Send them in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.